Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, class. Good evening. Welcome to Amazing Grace School of Ministry. Welcome to our Christian Empowerment course. Today is May the 16th, 2019. I am your instructor, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and this is a ministry out of the parent ministry of Amazing Grace Ministries. This is the School of Ministry, Amazing Grace School of Ministry. So, we have been talking about trauma. We have been discussing trauma. This is Let me see what class this is. Going to the syllabus that we have on file. This is the 16th of May, and we have only two more classes, which is May the 23rd and May the 30th. And May the 30th, we are actually going to have a full discussion. So we've been talking about trauma. We've been looking at the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, and looking at the symptoms of some of the disorders that fall in the line of stress, which is the predominant one that you most hear often, is post-traumatic stress disorder. So we have really been talking about those disorders. We've also talked about compound stress disorder, which is really not in the DSM-5, but is a disorder that is compound stress. No, I'm sorry. It's complex trauma stress disorder. That's what I get for saying it off the top of my head and not looking at my notes. But it is complex trauma stress disorder. And that is the one that an individual that has had multiple injuries or multiple traumatic injuries in their life. So that's the individuals that has been raped over and over again. That's the individual that has one traumatic event, abuse and neglect, and then is exposed to more traumatic events. Now, we've talked about the symptoms. We have discussed some of the situations or some of the side effects or the symptoms that come with trauma. We've also defined what trauma is. We've given trauma a definition. We've also and let me just review. We talked about understanding stress, your brain and your body. We talked about on last week how your limbic system, how the amygdala, the hippocampus, and the all the parts of your brain, how they function and what happens when the amygdala goes into action and there's something that causes a reaction, and how the adrenaline in your body is forced to be increased to deal with whatever that stressor is. So basically we talked about that. We've talked about how the brain is plastic, the plasticity of the brain. We talked about that. So we're going to go and we're going to get into some of the treatment and interventions on tonight. And let's go straight to some interventions. Now, I'm just giving you some skills to make you aware of those individuals that's going through traumatic stress disorder or have been exposed to traumatic situations that has caused them to respond in a way that is debilitating and limits their quality of life and their ability to function. We are Christians. We are Christians, and this is a Christian empowerment course. So we take the skills used in the Bible, and we take those to help restore our brothers and sisters. Now, Isaiah 61 and verses 1 through 6 talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, those that have been exposed to traumatic situations, those that have been hurt, those that have been wounded, those have been cut, those that have been pierced, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And if you're cut, if you're wounded, if you've been in a traumatic situation, you're certainly wounded. You were in a captive state. You were in a debilitating state. You can no longer function as you once did. And the finish the scripture out, it says, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Traumatic situations will bind you, will cripple you, will put you in situations where you don't understand the situations. You become fearful. You have all kind of intrusive memories. There are nightmares that you have. You can no longer walk in that same area that you once walked in because that area or walking down that street reminds you of the situation or something that occurred or something that happened to you, and yet you can physically put your memory on it, but your mind, but your unconscious knows that it's there. So maybe it's a smell, maybe it's walking by the riverside or walking by the river or walking down King Avenue or King Drive or whatever the situation is, it reminds you of that traumatic event. So let's go and get into it. Now, the other part of this scripture says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So we are gaining the skills to allow you to speak to the life of somebody that may be hurting, somebody that's suffering, somebody that's going through, that you can understand, look, let me pray for you. God is able to heal you. God is able to deliver you. God is able to set you free from that event, that situation that has caused you great pain and great sorrow. Amen. So, let's move on. But that word, the word of God, you know, the word of God is able to break the chains off of us. It's active and it's alive. I don't know why I keep going on right there. I don't know who's going to hear this tape and whatever students that come in the class and say, Dr. Carey, I want to take this course. I want to let you know that God is able to repair those desolated places. And you know, you think of the desert, you think of those dry spots, you think of those things that happen outside of your body. But when you expose to trauma, when you become a victim, when you've been abused over and over and over and over again, then it takes the word of God. It takes the Lord to come and to heal and to deliver you and to set you free, because Satan tries to make you feel that you are alone and there's no help. And you feel you feel like you are just in an abandoned, a desolated place. And when you look at desolation, it's the making of desolate, D-E-S-O-L-A-T-E. It's like lying in waste. It's like you miserable, like it's a place of loneliness. It's like the pit that Joseph was thrown into. It's dark, it's wet, it's dingy, and you don't know if you're going to get out or not. So when we look at the various disorders that traumatic or trauma creates, you know, and I told you acute stress disorder, and we keep going back to post-traumatic stress disorder because post-traumatic stress disorder is the most common. And the difference, we talked about the difference between acute stress disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder, is the fact that you have been dealing with them symptoms longer than a month, longer than 4 weeks. So post-traumatic stress disorder means that I have been dealing with this problem, that event, that I really can't recall more than 4 weeks. All right? Okay, so let's get into some interventions because I want you as the body of the believers to be able to see and to understand and to speak life to an individual because that's what we're here to do. And let me read this scripture, this other scripture, and I'm coming from Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. I said verses 1 through 6, but I'm only going to read verses 1 through 3. And I've just talked a little bit of that second one, but I'm going to read that second one again to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So here we are. We're here to comfort those that have been through traumatic events. We're here to say that God is able. We could decree and declare things. We could speak life. And verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness by the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm here to let you know God is in the blessing business. We are called to comfort those that are crying, comfort those that are suffering, comfort those that are mourning. We are here to let them know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that he could ask or think. Hallelujah. And I got a caller and a student on the line. Thank you for being on the line with us this morning. Certainly, if you have questions concerning the literature, concerning this school of ministry, you can call me at 309-750-7584. And certainly, we are dealing with the effects of trauma. So let's get into some interventions. If you need to be caught up, or if you say, Dr. Carey, I started late, I want to get caught up on all the lessons, then give me a call. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a call. Okay, let's get into this, shall we? So we're looking at changing the person who has gone through a traumatic event. We want to bring them out of the pit into the light. So how does trauma affect me? Let's talk about that. So after you have been exposed to serious threats or actual physical trauma or abuse, people develop a set of emotions, cognitive or behavioral symptoms. The immediate response of fear, hopelessness, or horror often gives way to lingering effects that can be intense at times and can affect your life in many ways. This is an exercise to help you focus on identifying specific symptoms of one of the diagnoses, and that's post-traumatic stress disorder. So maybe you have intrusive memories. You have disturbing dreams. You have flashbacks of the trauma, reminders of the trauma that bring distress, shakes, sweats. Your heart is racing. You avoid talking about the trauma. You avoid the places and people. You even have amnesia regarding the place of the trauma. Withdrawal from activities. You feel detached from other people. You feel like you're emotionally numb. Persistence. You have pessimism about the future, and we talked about these. You have sleep pattern abnormalities. You feel ill or irritable. You have poor concentration. You're on the edge, easily startled. You're sad or you feel guilty. And there, in those that are going through or those that have been exposed to these great traumatic events, then you might see some alcohol abuse. You might see some drug abuse. And, of course, there are suicidal thoughts. You see people that have conflicts with others. And certainly there is the verbal and physical violence. So I want you to take a checklist and think back. Maybe there was an event in your life, a traumatic event in your life, that you can recall, and I just want you to pick out three of those symptoms and check them off that you might have been exposed to. Now, I want you to look at how often it occurs and then what was the last symptom or what was the last occurrence of that event. So when you're looking at people who are have been exposed to or trauma, there's the post-traumatic stress disorder that I talked about. But then those are some of the events that might occur, or those are some of the symptoms that might occur. So when we're looking at treatment, or we're looking at trying to help individuals walk their way through, first of all, we have to be prayerful. We have to allow them to know that God is in the blessing business, and certainly we have to walk with them through their distress. We also have to be patient with that individual and understand that we might have to help them seek professional help. We might have to help them seek a counselor or a therapist or somebody that will help them get the treatment that they need. So we're looking at treatment here. So when a person is going through, you know, you want to walk them through, you want to be patient with them, you want them to know that you're there with them, that you're there to comfort them, that you're there to help them through this situation. And I'm trying to get the information here. So let's look at some issues here. So don't try to rush them to talk about, to be debriefed or to try to get them to talk about the situation or what they have gone through. You know, if you find that the person have just gone through a traumatic event, or somebody that you know have just lost somebody, or they have lost their family member, or the family member is sick, or they have just experienced a traumatic event, like this family that's going through with the the daughter that was pregnant, and they found the child at a home and rushed the child to the hospital, and now there is a look for the mother that was carrying this child. So you look at events like that, that's trauma. That is traumatic. That is traumatic, first of all, for the whole family. You saw your daughter at one point of the day, and then she turns up missing, and then what your hopes for having a grandchild you find out has been taken from the child and placed on life support so that child might not make it, and then you find out that the daughter that has been carrying that child is dead. So all of this is going through a person's mind. So the thing that we have to do is to provide a safe place for them to know that they have the support, your support, you know, even trust and reassurance, you know. You know, they're already highly anxious, and they're confused, and they're concerned that things will no longer be normal again. So with you being there to comfort them, and you being there to help them walk through this problem, walk through this situation, and just have a shoulder to cry on. So you're creating an environment of safety. You're creating an environment where those that can mourn in Zion, you're creating a surface or a place where that person can come to you and feel like there is a sense of security. I want to say security, but there is a sense of hope in you providing a safe space. So also, when you look at those that have been sexually abused, and one of the things about sexual abuse of that person feels a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment. It causes a sense of helplessness, and basically to let them know that, you know, you're a victim, you give them support, and you let them know that, you know, they're a victim. They don't have to be ashamed in situations like that. And, you know, a lot of times in terms of sexual abuse, people make the woman feel like, you know, you wanted it or you caused it. But you need to let them know, no, you didn't cause this. This was the perpetrator. This was the mental state, the evilness of this world, the evilness of that person that tries to control. And that's what when you look at sexual abuse, it's a crime of control. It's a crime of domination and control. And to control somebody, this world has waxed evil. Satan is on a rampage. You know, 2 Timothy talks about perilous times, and certainly living in a time where people don't care anything about you and they will harm you, they will steal. So much treachery is going on that I know the Lord is on his way back, because Satan is trying to kill and to steal the hearts of man. He don't want you to live right. He don't want you to be saved. So if he can afflict you with these injuries, these traumatic, these injuries that have caused you pain and suffering, where your mind is not right, where your normal is no longer normal, where you get you confused and where he gets you fearful. But I'm here to let you know that God is a God of restoration, and there's nothing too hard for God. And anybody that is exposed or have experienced trauma, God is a healer. God is a deliverer. That's what Isaiah 61 is talking about, to give those that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes. You know, we've gone through the trials and we've gone through suffering, but the word of God speaks to us and it heals us and it delivers us. And we don't look like what we have been through because he helps us through it. So, we want to take some steps when we understand trauma, and I don't want you to try to do an assessment, because I just want you to know that there are people that are hurting. So you want to give information about coping and how to cope. You want to let them know what's going on. If a person is been exposed to trauma, you want to let them know what's going on in their brain. Well, because the adrenaline, because the amygdala reacts to the stimuli, then that's why your emotions and your brain and your energies and your breathing and your body reacts to the stress. So you want to let them know how the body reacts to stress. And we talked about the brain and how the body reacts to stress. If you don't remember it, just go back to my previous classes and review the lesson, and that will help you. So you also want to let them know the flashbacks. They are victims of flashbacks, meaning when the body is exposed to stresses, because the amygdala gets into action and it lets the hippocampus look, you need to take this stimuli, you need to take this information, you need to make it long term. I need to have every function in the body, so it tells the hypothalamus to look, you control the blood pressure, you control this area, so I need you to get the blood pressure on board. I need you to raise the blood pressure. I need you to get the heart rate moving. I need you to get the limbs going. I need you to get them moving, because this needs to happen fast. So any type of emotion that hits, that's what the amygdala does. It regulates your emotions. So if it keeps regulating, and see, that's the thing with trauma. It keeps firing the amygdala all the time. And because the hypothalamus, the hippocampus, doesn't get to the cortex to say, look, that stressor, that trauma is over, stop firing off the amygdala, it doesn't happen. So that's why the body reacts. That's why you have the flashbacks. So now let's get into some deep breathing. You know, one of the best ways of dealing with stress is to applying stress management. And stress management is really basically deep breathing, taking a deep breath in and blowing it out softly, and imagining a place, a peaceful scenery. You know, I want to get to the beach, the blue water and the white sands, and walking on the beach. So when you begin to help a person deal with those traumatic events, then just checking my equipment. Want to check. It looks like I want to make sure that I'm still on the line here. Sometimes you got to pause for our station identification. All right, we're back. Want to make sure I got everyone. So back, we were talking about deep breathing. We were talking about applying some coping strategies or coping techniques. And coping techniques is good for stress, period. Even in our everyday lives, when we get upset, you know, we could take the same methods and just calm down. So this is how you apply. And this is breathing techniques, is relaxation techniques. So basically, this is what is called applying stress management. First, is taking deep breaths and then letting that breath out slow. Then you also, secondly, you want to imagine a peaceful scenery. And I said this earlier, but I had to take a couple of minutes break, so I'm saying it again. I like to look at the beaches and someplace peaceful, flowers just blooming. So someplace peaceful. And you want to keep doing that over and over again. And you also want to look at routines and relationships that provide stability and support. So you want to see what your network is, not your network, but your network. You know, we have social media, and the thing about social media is you have predators online. And I was looking at a television show that talked about the sex trafficking that's going on, and how women are being snatched up for the sex trade, and how the market supply and demand, the market is so open, the financial support, the money is so open for that until they don't have enough and they are taking girls. And we want to bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance to those individuals that are working in that capacity of saving those girls that and boys that have been taken by this deceptive practice, because this society is built on money and not people. So again, back to three, you want to have routines and relationships that provide stability and support for you. So you might want to help that individual write down where they find comfort, who can help them, who can hold their hand. Okay? So basically, let's talk about some cognitive behavior techniques that you can use to better control thinking. Because once you look at how the brain reacts to trauma, the reason why we have intrusive memories and flashbacks and all those symptoms is because it don't get back to the cortex that the trauma has passed. So the cortex does not get that information, because the hippocampus does not relay that information back to the cortex, which stores long-term memories. So basically, the amygdala keeps shooting over and over again. So we need to have better control in our thinking in the aftermath of the trauma and terror. So teaching the self-control method. Dr. Carey, what is the self-control method? A, we talked about relaxation techniques, life skills. communication, time management skills, and identifying when you might be overestimating the possibility of something bad happening. So we have to keep those things in mind. So you have to begin to rethink things out. You have to look at whether or not is it a threat? Am I feeling threatening? Is my environment a situation that I need to react or it's not? So it's not based on feelings, but it's based on identifying the overestimating based on how I feel, the possibility of something bad happening, that something bad is happening. Okay? And we also want to keep a journal of your thoughts and your feelings. So these are some things that we can do to kind of assist and help in terms of intervention. Now let's move on to some other things that can also help as well. So when we look at what we're hearing, we know that the entire world lives with a constant state of hypervigilance and anxiety fueled in fears. Fears that keeps us thinking about the next mass killing or senseless cowardice acts of violence. So we have all this going on. We got suicide bombers. We got the cycle that runs over and over again. So what's the question? So as a body of believers, we must include, and that's what we're doing now. We're taking stress training and skill development in spiritual warfare, to be prone in or to be equipped in methods and ways to treat. So all righty, let's move on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then there's some other things that you can help the person that may have been feeling exposed to trauma. There, I talked about keeping a journal, but there's also helping a person feelings and forgiveness letter. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I was distracted. But when you're looking at trauma and you're looking at experiencing the impact of childhood trauma that's had on an adult's life, certainly the more that you begin to forgive those individuals. Forgiveness is a powerful event that helps you, even to those that have perpetrators that have hurt you, those that have abused you, those that have raped you, those that have committed such hideous crimes. You know, one of the things I did a class on forgiveness, I did a workshop, mental health awareness class, and I do mental health awareness classes, and I'm praying and the Lord is saying I need to come back and continue to do those. So I'm going to be doing those soon, and I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing those. But when you look at forgiveness is such a powerful weapon in that it helps you to forgive and to begin to heal. It doesn't help the perpetrator or the person that has abused you or have committed this traumatic event on your life, but it helps you heal. It helps you move forward. And, you know, we don't have to, certainly we've been victimized, but we don't have to stay there. Hallelujah. We don't have to look like what we have come through, because God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God will set those free that want to be set free. When we looked at victim, you know, when you say I'm a victim or I've been victimized, I've been exposed to this situation or this event, you know, what's a victim? A victim is a person who has suffered direct, indirect, or threatened physical, emotional, or physical, emotional harm as a result of the commission of a crime. So a person is also anyone who identifies as a victim or a survivor. So when we look at victimization, when we look at trauma, we look at how God has made us and how he has made us to develop patterns in our life to help us deal with those situations, how the amygdala fires off. It fires off in a way that makes us ready to either fight or run in whatever the situation is. But we as individuals, this is a Christian empowerment course. The foundation is Christ. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and 37, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who lives in us. So when we look at Romans 8 and we look at those verses above it, the Bible says we are more than a conqueror through Christ. No matter what we've gone through, no matter the situations, no matter the problems, no matter what it is that Satan has thrown our way, and it is, the root of it is Satan. Satan is there to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to stop you. He wants to keep you from getting to Christ. He wants to stop us from the ultimate end of making it into heaven. And because he wants to stop us, then he wants to kill our children. He wants to victimize us. He wants to cripple us to where we say that there is no God. You know, Job's wife told Job, you know what, you going through all these traumas and situations and you having this traumatic stuff go on in your life, you just might as well curse God and die. But he told him, woman, you talk like a fool. But one thing that Job said, he said, the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's who God is. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who's able to help us walk through this problems. And we may cry in the midnight hour. We may cry, but when we cry in the midnight hour, God is there to heal. God is there to bring us out, because we're crying, Lord, help, Lord, deliver, Lord, set us free. You know what we need. Jesus, we need you, because this world is wicked. So let's get some more techniques in, shall we? And then next week, I think I was supposed to talk about child intervention, and next week I will go straight into talking about statistics about trauma, how children go through trauma. Our children have been diagnosed with ADHD a lot of misdiagnoses is going out, but our children have just been exposed to traumatic events, especially in the city of Chicago. You know, how them babies are going to focus on getting a lesson when somebody is coming into the classroom and shooting up the classroom? How that baby is going to play in the playground when somebody is coming to the playground and shooting and killing, like the Pendleton girl that was killed just in the playground? And yet the most tragic thing about all of this is just that our young boys that seem to feel like a gun is their only solution is out there killing each other, and yet that's a waste of such good potential, and we've got to cry out to the Lord for intervention. So here's some action steps. I want to finish these action steps, and we're going to go on, and that's going to be it for us today. And there is a prayer that I'm going to read so that you can just kind of move forward and help your friends. So understand the nature of the trauma. Discuss what happened, if it all can be remembered. Don't do this gently. The memories are probably painful. Don't allow for any denials of what happened or the feelings about what happened. Honesty is the key. This can begin with you I think I talked about this on last week, but again, remember, we're just lay members. You're just lay members in Christ, and these are just skills to help you get the person to some treatment. And certainly, if you don't understand, if you want to say, well, look, I need to look up counseling places or people that may help that individual receive help, you can certainly do that on the internet. I think I even gave some resources on last week where you can go to help. So I'm just going to repeat these again. This can begin with you as a counselor or what may be better, continuing in a support group or survivors of similar trauma. So know that, again, this is just for lay people, and some of the stuff, because I am a counselor, you might say, well, this is too over my head, don't worry about it. But you just want to support that individual. You just want to learn some skills to be able to, and that's what this course is doing. Understand that you did not deserve the hurt that happened to you and that you didn't cause them. And remember, we talked about those that have been sexually abused and how they feel guilty, how they feel like they've caused this. This is where that comes in, to let them know, no, they didn't do that. Depending on the nature of the trauma, understand that you may need to erect some boundaries with particular people so that you would not be hurt again. Again, we talked about safe places. So a lot of this stuff is just a repeat of what we already talked about with treatment, but I just want to read this. And, of course, this is the book that I have that's named, and I talked about this as well on last week. So if you go back and you listen to my class on last week, you know that I talked about the biblical counseling. You know, something that you need to just have in your library. If you're going to be do biblical counseling, if you feel like this is what the Lord is leading you to do, then you need to come on. You need to say, Dr. Carey, I want to get a degree in it, and we can work on that too. But also, developing skills to help and to encourage somebody else. And please let me say that if you are dealing with somebody that has been exposed to traumatic events, don't go out there and tell their information all over the place. Keep it confidential. You're trying or you're developing skills as one day to be a counselor, to be a clinician, then as counselors, as clinicians, we keep individuals information confidential unless they say, I want to kill myself or somebody else, and then we get them the help they need. Because if you're a licensed person, if you hold a license in any church, if you're a missionary, if you're an evangelist, if you call a minister or whatever, then you have an obligation to help that person who says, I want to harm myself. You have an obligation to help them get to what's needed. And if that's just calling 911 and talking to them until the police get there, that's intervention. Talking and praying. Hallelujah. Some might say, well, I'm praying and I'll cast the devil out. Yeah, continue to cast the devil out, but call 911 also so that the officials can come and deal and address the issue as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it. I said call 911 as well. Because, you know, we have to understand that certainly this is not Ephesians 6 and 12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness. So we've got to get to the root of the core. And once you get to the root of the core, and people that have a mind of suicide have one focus only, and that's the issue. Now, once they begin to open up and see a different side of things and to know that they are not alone, then they begin to address and deal with this. Hallelujah. And we need to begin to understand that a lot of the young people are seeming like just saying, I'm taking my life because it's better than living here. But we have a reality. What the reality of what we're not dealing with is that there is another life after this. All you're doing is killing the body. You ain't killing the spirit. So if you're not killing your spirit, what torment are you causing your spirit to be exposed to? So get them the help they need. If somebody say they want to kill themselves, then don't take it lightly. Call 911. Walk them through. Pray them through. But let them get the help they need because they need some intervention, some therapeutic intervention. And that's some of the symptoms of a person that have gone through traumatic events. If you don't know, you can look at the school shootings and on the news. I think a couple of days ago, one of the mass shootings, there's been so many, that one of the mass shootings, now the students that have survived, they're killing themselves in suicide. Well, that's part of dealing with trauma. But we bind the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. We have to begin to work through those issues, work through those symptoms to let the brain know, come on now, you're no longer living in a traumatic event. So express your feelings. Express your real feelings. And you allow them to express their real feelings. If they're angry with the perpetrator of the trauma, then express it. You don't have to confront the person that has abused you. Again, we're talking about letters. See, when you have a journal, when you write, writing and allowing your feelings to flow, that is so therapeutic. That is so powerful because you allow those emotions that you're feeling to be put on paper, then releasing them, which is so helpful. So express it. Express what you're feeling. The best thing about interventions with a person that is dealing in a traumatic situation is allowing them to express their feelings, giving them that safe place, that safe haven, and allowing your brother, your sister to express her feelings while maybe connecting and holding her up in prayer to release. And even if she's angry with God, some people want to say, I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. How can you be angry with God? Let them feel what they're feeling. God is sovereign. God understands. And God understands that they don't realize who the father is of the hatred and the demons and the warlocks. We live in a spiritual world that Satan is trying to dominate this world. You know, it's not about flesh and blood, but it's principalities. It's spiritual wickedness, chaos, treachery. Man's heart is evil. So let them express their feelings and listen. And I think next week I'm going to talk about the children. We're going to talk about trauma in children, but we're also going to talk about developing good listening skills, because you have to be a good listener in this field. Listen and pray, and there's a skill to it. So let's move on. My time is getting away from me. It is now 8 o'clock. Normally this time I open up the lines and let those on the line give me questions, but I have just a little bit more to talk about. So, when we're asking for healing, and you want to encourage the person to know that they can heal. They will heal. God is a healer and God is a deliverer. We're talking about, and when you look at Isaiah 61, I don't know why the Lord just laid me to just deal with this verse with reconciliation. You know, when we look at healing and we're looking at God's ability to heal, you know, we go through situations for a reason. We go through, if we believe it, the steps are ordered by the Lord. And certainly we're living in a world that's not saved. And we're living in a world that is increasingly moving further and further away from God. And because we're moving further and further away from God, it's so much sin, it's so much unnatural affections, so much evil that's out there now that God is on his way back. But God is a healer. So God's word comes to heal. And in due time, healing will come with God's help. It is important that you engage in this process that which this will help that individual to know that God is a healer. You know, there are support groups, there are individual counseling. And encourage if that person has offered counseling, then encourage that person to do that. You know, beyond just healing, that person will have victory over trauma. And you have to look at the positive strengths that individual has as a result of healing from trauma. You know, things come to make us stronger. Trauma comes to make us stronger. if we didn't know that we were strong, if we've been sleeping in our car, if we've been exposed, especially African Americans, we have been dealing with white supremacy or white favoritism for ages. And yet, when we look at our young African American young people, millennials that's coming up, that's still being exposed to what our parents, Jim Crow and all those other issues thought was over, yet is still yet alive in this country. And today, certainly, God is a healer and deliverer. If it, you know, we don't look like what we've been through, but certainly we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Trusting in his holy word. He never failed us yet. Wow. That is a song, and it just came to mind in my thoughts. You know, God is a healer. God is a deliverer, and certainly we have the victory in Christ Jesus. So you look at the positive strengths that you have in your life from the healing of trauma. And know that eventually you need to forgive yourself, to set yourself free, and certainly that is the ultimate victory. And then you'll be able to comfort others that have gone through the same experience. So I think I'm going to last week I talked about Jonah. I know I did. But again, I've talked about some very good concepts in terms of addressing trauma. If you have any questions, you know to give me a call at 309-750-7584. If you want to take this course has been addressing trauma and its effects. If you say, Dr. Carey, I want to get credit for it, I want to get my CEUs, then give me a call and we can discuss. If you just want to listen in and just listen to the material and listen to some of the things to better your skills, and then you can also let me know as well. So I think that is it. I think that I've covered everything that I want to cover during this lesson. You know, when we begin, we've been talking about the brain, and when we've been talking about trauma and cognitive, when we look at cognitive just is a word that means our thinking abilities and how we process and how we think things. And when we look at our minds, you know, in NAACP talks about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. One of the things that trauma does, it messes up our minds and our ability to think, our ability to take that trauma and put it into long term. So the rest of that body, that adrenaline or the part of the body that makes us go into that extra, that bionic strength is never turned off. So we begin to think, and it's a thinking, it begins a process of what we talk about in Romans 12:2. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the King James Version. I want to read the Amplified Version as we prepare to move forward, but exit class. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its eternal and superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by this new ideas and new attitudes, comma, so that you, that you may prove, comma, for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, comma, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect, comma, bracket, in his sight for you. God provides a new identity. Transition takes place between the old and new man, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old things is gone and new life has begun. And I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:18. Born in this world, acquainted with grief, acknowledging the presence of God in our lives and his ways to identify with Christ, who suffered for our sins that we might be free. Christ was the ultimate victim. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. So again, I'm going to read this prayer again as I read on last time. Dear Jesus, your children are in a lot of pain today. Lord, remember the situations of the past that is still looming large across the landscape of his or her life, even on today. Lord, please, we don't yet understand why you allowed this to happen. We understand that this world is wicked and that Satan is the father and there's spiritual wickedness in this world. But God, your grace is sufficient. We don't understand what purpose could have it have possibly have had. But we know that you're in the healing business and we want to trust you that you are going to make us stronger, that you are going to uphold us, that you're going to make us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, that we know that all things work for the good of them that are called according to your purpose. And God, we have been called to your purpose. We have been called to call this dying world back into relationship with you, Christ Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll bring about a strength in us. If we don't quite understand, God, we pray that these lessons will convict and give understanding and clarity to someone who needs help. Someone is about to throw in the towel because they feel victimized and they feel like there is no hope. But we thank you, Jesus, because there is hope in you. We are healed. Hallelujah. We know that you were crucified, that you were died, and you suffered for us. You provide us with the perfect example of an individual that has been through a traumatic situation, and you have weathered the storm to now sit on the right hand of our Father, to be an advocate for us, and that you sent down the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that will guide, lead us into a better understanding and healing from being victimized and traumatized. Glory to his name. We magnify you and we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for you are a healer, for you are a deliverer, for you have set the captive free. God, we thank you, God, that you've given us beauty for ashes, God, in our struggles, in our trials and tribulation, God, that we might be trees of righteousness. God, we thank you that we are trees of righteousness. We thank you, God, that the word of God is healing and delivering right now. We thank you, God, that you're doing a new thing in us. We thank you, God, that you're moving like never before. We thank you, God, that you're healing that individual from trauma. We thank you, God, that you're making them stronger. We thank you, God, that you're renewing their mind. We thank you, God, that you're doing something in us and in them. And we thank you, God, that you're going to propel these classes out to the masses, to the highways and the byways, that they will connect to people that need to know that Christ is the way, that he is a healer, that he is, that you are a deliverer. Christ is the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. God, we thank you, God. We bind intrusive memories, thoughts in the name of Jesus. We bind everything that's associated with trauma in the name of Jesus. We bind it right now. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind it in the name of Jesus. All those symptoms, all those issues, all those problems that we name in the name of Jesus, flashback, intrusive memories, nightmares, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Everything, God, you know, God, stress in the name of Jesus, depression, the spirit of suicide, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We cast it in the lake of hell where it belongs, back in the pit, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing, we speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. We declare it by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, this is Amazing Grace School of Ministry. You have just been listening to our Christian Empowerment and Counseling course. This is a course designed to help those lay people understand skills to be better ambassadors for Christ Jesus, to be better ministers, to be better missionaries, to be better lay people, to be and better soldiers, because we put the armor upon us. And before you go deal with anybody, your friends, that individual that has been exposed to trauma, go to Ephesians 6 and read Ephesians 6, starting at the 12th verse, and bring all and read it all the way down to verse 18, because you need to be equipped. You need to equip yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. When you deal with people, when you deal with sorrows, when you deal with people that have been exposed to traumatic events in their lives, that takes your virtue. In the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Christ's garment, and he turned around and said, "Who touched me? Because the virtue went out of me." When you're ministering to God's people, the virtue is going to go out of you. Hallelujah, because the Spirit of God is in us to give clarity, to give thought, to give wisdom, to give direction, to battle the evil one, which is Satan. And I often said, and I said in this class, that it's not a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle. So when you're dealing with Satan and when you're dealing with those that have been exposed to trauma, you need to be prayerful and you need to seek God's direction. And if you want, you say you listen to the course and you want to be a clinician, you want to be a counselor, certainly I encourage those in the body of Christ to go on and to receive a degree in that field. The Lord blessed me to get my master's degree in counseling psychology back in 1991. I've tried to keep myself abreast to the various events that's going on. I got my doctor's degree in pastoral counseling because I wanted to blend the two together to build an army of those that will stand up against these principalities, because they're spirits and principalities, because we're not conforming our minds to think like Christ, but we're keeping our minds on the wives of Orlando, California, or wherever games people play, empire, all of that stuff that will linger in our minds and our thoughts. And this world is hooked on pornography. It's about sex and everything that they sell and everything they do. And certainly when you're a saint, when you're a Christian, you don't walk like the world, you don't think like the world, because this world is not our home. And certainly this is an empowerment course. I'm not trying to preach a sermon, but this is a Christian empowerment class. And it deals with scripture. The foundation is the Word of God. We use the Word of God because it is in the Word of God that helps deliver us, it helps to set us free, and it is the Word of God that will heal and deliver us. And that's what we stand on. So you say, "Well, Dr. Carey, what you stand on?" Dr. Carey stands on the Word of God. Now, psychology, all the ologies God made. God made the mind, he made nature, he made biology, he made chemistry. All of it belongs to God, and certainly there are physicians and doctors, and saints go to the doctor, and we trust them for guidance, but the healer is Jesus. That's just the instrument he uses. And we ask in prayer that you guide and you lead them, because ultimately God is the one that's doing the healing. All the glory and all the honor belongs to him. I don't know why I'm saying this, but it all belongs to him. Certainly if you have any questions, give me a call at 309-750-7584. Those of you that are attending my class, all my assignments go to Dr. Dr. Carey, PhD at yahoo.com. All tests go to that email address as well. Give me email. And if you want further clarity, but those that are taking this course, just by audit, if you have any questions, you can email me or you can give me a call. And my email address is drcareyphd@yahoo.com. Again, I will see you next week. As a reminder, we only have two more classes in this course. And then the month of June, we'll be starting a new empowerment course. I see you. God bless. Bye-bye.